Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we have a new guest with us, my friends, someone that I've had the pleasure of meeting, Mr. Chris Klemm, who is a retired Border Patrol chief, 27 years in the Border Patrol. And he's been a chief Border Patrol agent in various places, knows his way around the agency, not to mention around the border. And he's also a resident of Arizona, beautiful Arizona. I really, really wanted to get him on and chat with him about the history of the Border Patrol, because sometimes we don't know exactly what the history is, how it came about, as well as what has happened to it. So, Chris, thank you very, very much for taking time to be with us today, buddy.
George, great to be on the show, and likewise, happy to be on here and just talk about what I've experienced, what I've seen, and you know, it's such an important issue today and tomorrow and for the future of this country.
Now, first of all, tell us, why was the Border Patrol organized in the first place, way back when? 1920s, well, I believe.
Yeah, 1924 is when we were founded, and we were really kind of before that, a ragtag group of marshals and Texas Rangers. But it was, under the Immigration Nationality Act, we became the Border Patrol in 1924, and it really was, about prohibition. It was about immigration. It was just about keeping our border safe. You know, there was, it was wide open, right? I mean, the country had just really was standing up. We were post-World War One at that time. I mean, you really have to just kind of look at where we were as a nation. But we realized that we had a lot of people coming in from all over the world. And they were, we needed to get organized. We really needed, and I think it resonates to this day, 100 years later. We need to know who and why somebody is coming in to our country. We need to regulate that. And that's the critical piece of the Border Patrol, is to make sure that people come in the right way, through the front door, on a guest list, applying to come in here through a lawful port of entry, whether it's the air, land, or sea, not in between the ports, breaking our laws. And so, that resonates as much of a priority today as it did 100 years ago.
The whole situation with border security, I remember my grandparents complaining about bootlegging, and I remember them complaining about illegal aliens taking Mexican Americans' jobs in Texas. Now, here we are in 2024, gosh, 100 years later. What has happened the past 4 years, in your thoughts?
Well, I will tell you, it's a culmination of things that have happened over the last, I would say the last 20 years or more, is the true conflating of immigration and border security. Because while they are related, they are mutually, they're not mutually exclusive. You can have one and the other. We are asking, all too often, or should I say, all too often, it's getting combined. When you hear, mainstream media or progressive political ideologies, putting immigration and illegal immigration and border security all in the same pot. And that it couldn't be further from the truth, because a well-regulated immigration system starts with a secure border. So stop conflating immigration and border security. Let's get the border security piece fixed, because that's a national security and public safety threat. Immigration is truly an economic and humanitarian way to continue to prosper and grow this country and help this country and others benefit from lawful immigration. What I've seen over the last several administrations was this conflating of the two and giving false choices and virtue signaling. Like, you can't be pro-security, that means you're anti-immigrant, or if you're pro-immigration, that means you're an open border person, and none of that could be further from the truth. We just want to make sure that we can control who and what comes in, and that anything and anyone that comes in illegally is taken care of through a consequence and removed if necessary. And I think it just gets broad brushed, and that's why people don't understand the complexities of immigration. That's why politicians like to put in these really fancy terms like comprehensive immigration reform, and it becomes a bunch of trade-offs between miles of wall and the number of worker or visas. Why should those even be in the same conversation? And so what I'm hoping that's going to happen under this new incoming Trump administration is they're going to focus on the border security piece. Let's finish what we started under the first Trump administration, secure the border. Then we actually have a solid starting foundation on cleaning up the lawful pathways and the immigration system that has just been, you know, abused and exploited by people from all around the world, to include our own politicians. So, I mean, that's kind of where I see this going. We've got to make sure we start with, you know, fixing the leak at the border by securing it, and then we can clean up the immigration mess that it's created.
Yes, when I worked on the 1986 law way back when, the IRCA, Immigration Reform Act, I remember the anxiety to enforcement and from politicians, and the demand for amnesty. And it was supposed to be the one and only amnesty. And since then, there's been all sorts of amnesties, and many of them not even close called amnesties, the catch and release amnesty, I call it. It just seems like, you know, the enforcement piece is completely ignored constantly.
Well, you know, and that's part of the problem too. I think that, you know, like many, I want to believe this. I think it's you know, I think I'm not naive, but I want to be an optimist, that this comes from a good place. Like 86 Act, it came from a good place. Like, we were going to clean the slate, we're going to have a fresh start. You know, we're going to right the wrongs, and it won't happen again. Well, unfortunately, they, instead of you know solidifying and really holding the 86 IRCA accountable, and the employers and everybody in the system accountable, they didn't. They just added more to it, and it's made it worse, and it's made everybody. I don't know what's more complicated, our tax code or our immigration code. How does somebody come? How does somebody come in? And that's the problem, right? So it's made it ripe for exploitation. You know, the other thing that, you know, you touched on, I think is important, is this constant fear mongering of, you know, people are going to get deported, or they're going to get rounded up. Well, you know, there are ways that's going to happen if it's focused on, you know, those that are national security and public safety threats. But if you've been here under some program and it's expired, or you're here, you know, illegally, and, you know, you have an opportunity to right the wrong, we should find that common sense and compassion to make it happen. But you don't get a free pass. You're going to have to pay a consequence of some sort, whether that means going back to your country or paying a fine or doing something, because we've got so many people that are waiting in line to do things the right way. And just like when there's a bad cop, nobody hates a bad cop more than a good cop. And I see the same thing when it comes to immigration. When I talk to people that have come the right way, whether they're naturalized or they're resident aliens or they're here on visas, they're like, we did it the right way. They despise people that are cutting in line. And it's time to get that fixed, right? I really am optimistic that this new administration is going to focus on the security piece, and then they're really going to say, hey, what is it that this country needs? Go to the business owners, go to academia, go to the workforce, go to the farmer and say, what is it that you need, and how can we make that happen? And you'll give that, you know, we're going to still hold people accountable if you exploit people or the system, but let's try to make a simpler way so we don't have this, you know, continued push for illegal immigration. Because you can go back to the 50s, starting with the Bracero program. And when you saw a lawful means where people can come get meaningful work and can go back and do it again the next season, we actually had a drop in illegal immigration because people found a way. There was a lawful path. If we could get that right in the 50s, Why can't we get this right in 2024?
You got it. Perfect question. I love it. I love it. We're going to need to let you go, my friend, but any closing thoughts?
Well, I will say this. I am grateful for people like you that, number one, have a decades of experience, have actually worked with administrations and worked on the ground to look for solutions and not just talk about the problem, but also giving people like myself and others a platform to bring the truth to the public, because, you know, it resonated. We saw that in this year's elections, right? We saw the House, the Senate, and then the presidency, you know, focus on these type of issues. And the American people are tired of these problems continuing to be, you know, pushed down the road. So I'm grateful for people like yourself that give myself and others a voice so we can bring the facts and bring some ideas and solutions to the public. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity, George.
I really, really thank you. Folks, we've been talking with our new friend, Mr. Chris Klemm, retired Border Patrol chief. And Chris, we got to get you back on the show again as things evolve and develop in the coming administration, and we'll see what's going on with the border crisis at that point. Thank you very much for joining us.
You got it. Thank you.
Once again, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio.